Well, here we go. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. You know, human nature is human nature. And without God, it's not a very nice thing, human nature. You can look at any place in the world and any time in history, and wherever man is without God, there's a lot of hate, there's a lot of depravity. Yeah, there's a lot of everything. There's a lot of decadence and war and sickness and meanness, slavery, all kinds of whatever is bad will happen. And the places where good things happen, for the most part, are where people believe God. It's just an amazing thing. And it's also true that as you look at history, any place in the world, at any time in history, that wherever God is believed, it's usually a small percentage of the people that truly believe. You know, that's just the way it is. There was something on the news yesterday, I guess, where it said a third of the males today don't want to believe, or a third less males go to church than did, you know, back a while ago. So anyway, but you know, there's another thing about that. And one of the things in human nature is most people are willing to settle. They're willing to settle for mediocrity. They're willing to settle for security. Now you say security. What do you mean by that? Well, people would trade their freedom and their liberty if they knew that they would be safe, even if they would be enslaved, or even if they would be oppressed by the government. That's why the founding fathers, you know, in their statement and in their leading of the American Revolution said, we pledge our honor, we pledge our fortunes, and we pledge our lives. In other words, they were totally committed. You know, they aspired to something greater than they had. In life, most people are willing to settle for mediocrity. They're willing to settle for how they were raised and what they had. Most people in religion are willing to settle for, you know, being comfortable. They don't want to be confronted. They don't want to have to deal with their shortcomings. They don't want to have to say, wow, I need to believe God. I need to take responsibility for my life. You know, why are there, you know, why is such there such a small percentage of billionaires? Well, if it was, you know, self-made billionaire, it's because they aspired to more. You know, they were willing to gamble. They were willing to take a chance. They were willing to reach out. Why did men of God rise up above the rest of the people? Because they were willing to believe God. They were willing to trust God. They were willing to aspire to greater things. You see? And when you understand the truth of the Word of God, when you understand what God did for you through Jesus Christ, you should want to aspire to more. You shouldn't settle. You shouldn't settle for just ordinary. You shouldn't settle for just mediocrity. You shouldn't settle for comfortable. Shouldn't settle for, I go to fellowship, I pray. Shouldn't settle for that. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So we have two things here. First of all, what is trust? What is trust? Well, you're sitting on a chair. You trust that chair to hold you. You know, it's a reliance. Right? And it's when it's real trust, it's a complete reliance. It's a total reliance in something. And here it says we are to trust in God. And then it goes on to emphasize saying, how? With all your heart. With all your heart, which is a figure of speech. It's because it's not your pump, right? It's not the physical heart, but it's talking about your whole being. What makes you you, what makes you tick, what inspires you or what motivates you in your life, what determines your life. You are to trust God with what? Your whole heart, not just part of your heart. You see? Then it goes on to say, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's one of the big challenges of life, not to lean to your own understanding, you know, not to try to figure everything out on your own. Well, I got this, so I got to do this and I got to do that. And rather than saying, okay, God, what do I need to do? How are you going to fix this for me? How are you involved in this? What are your promises concerning this? You see? So it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. What an amazing and magnificent thing. You know, and we read that and go, yeah, trust God. Well, you know, the whole Bible really is all about believing. You know, if you don't believe it, if you don't believe that the Word of God is the will of God, then you don't really have anything. It's all about believing God. The whole Bible is encouraging and pointing to and asking and urging us to believe God, to see God work in our lives. God, in every way possible, in every record, in every manifestation, in every word of the Word of God, is encouraging us to believe Him, to trust Him, to rely on Him, to look to Him. Verse 6, next verse. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all, how many ways? All thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You know, we're to trust God and His Word totally and completely. Without doubt, without question. That's a pretty, you know, amazing thing when you think about it. We're to believe God and trust God without any question, without any doubt, without any trepidation whatsoever. In other words, you do what He says, period. So then He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, Him being God, Jehovah, and He shall direct thy paths. So it's not in some ways acknowledge Him, but it's in all ways acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge means to know Him. You know, it, recognize Him. And to trust means to lean on, be confident in, rely upon. You trust in something or someone when you are absolutely sure of them, right? The word trust here in God or Jehovah is complete and total. And then the word ways, it says, in all thy ways. And the word ways, it means paths. Your paths or pathways is what it's talking about. And all the paths, all the ways you go walk through life, all the things you do in life, you are to acknowledge Him. You're to acknowledge Him. In all your ways, you are to know God, to acknowledge God, to recognize God in everything you do. That's pretty much a big order, isn't it? Well, no, because God does all the work. No, you just do what He says and believe Him. Look to Him, trust Him, glorify Him, give Him the credit. The Amplified Bible translates, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord, which is Jehovah, with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Then it goes on, in all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths. How about that? See? Now, do we all do that? No. But what should you aspire to? To do it. You should aspire to do that. And when you don't do that, you know what? God can teach you. When you miss it, God can say, okay, this is what you could have done. This is what you should have done. You know, when you back off, when you hesitate, when you have doubt, you know, then he can teach you. Or when you plow through on your own and you think, well, I'm believing God, and you do something, but you don't really listen to him, and you try to do it your way, and you say, well, I prayed to God. Well, you know, sometimes we pray to God and we say, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. You know, it doesn't work. It sounds very religious, doesn't it? You know, I prayed to God. Yeah, but that's not what, you know, it doesn't line up with the word. It doesn't line up with anything. It's just you're doing it, you know. Oh, okay. Psalm 37. See, you know, the world may not attribute greatness to someone that believes God, but God does. God does. You know, it's, you know, sometimes in the world, you can see somebody that has really accomplished a lot. You know, they've really done something amazing, or they've really worked hard, and, you know, but they usually pay a price if they're not godly. You know, they usually pay a price in some way or another. Football coaches, you know, you have all these people, they worship these football coaches and say, man, that guy is great, and he stays up till 2 in the morning watching films and planning, and he does all the stuff, and his team is great, blah, blah. And then you look at his life outside of football, and it doesn't exist. You know, his family's a mess. His kids are a wreck. You know, there's nothing there, you know. But he's a great coach. Well, great. Is that real greatness? What are the priorities of life? To be a coach for a game? How stupid. How absolutely ridiculous and stupid. You see, we put our priorities in our culture are so lopsided and wacky and nuts, and we don't put the you know, the value on the most important things. And the most important thing that we can do as born-again believers is to walk with God. That's the most important thing you can do in life, is to walk with God, to listen to God, to believe God, to trust God, to live for him and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord. So here again, we're to trust in who?
The Lord.
Lord. Have absolute, complete trust, reliance, confidence in God. So you're confronted with a crisis, and you go, yeah, I believe God, but what? But what? And as soon as you say but, you have no longer had confidence or trust in God. As soon as you say but, you're done. See? You've caved. You've given in. You've compromised. Trust. Trust in the Lord and do what?
Good.
Do good. Well, what's doing good?
The word.
The word. God's word. What God wants you to do. Doing God's will. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Wow, that's pretty great. You know, you do good, you trust God, and he'll take care of you. Makes sense. Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust it also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit unto the Lord, is give all unto him. It's, the word commit literally means to roll over, or to devolve oneself upon God. You know what devolve means? To unfurl or unroll or transfer to the ultimate owner. That's pretty cool, huh? You know, commit it to God. Give it to God. You know, but what does it mean? Well, I'm giving it to God, but you're really in your heart. You don't give it to God. You're still holding on to it, you see? You know, when you're commit, we use commit in a lot of different ways. One of the ways, and you can understand this when you think it, when you give totally to God. You know, when you commit yourself to God, then you really give everything to God, don't you?
Yeah, right.
See? When you're committed to God. And you know what? And I watch this in everybody, and I'm not perfect. I'm not setting myself up as the ideal, the you know, but the more you don't commit, you know, people just put one foot in the water and one foot out. You can't do that with God. You have to commit to God. The more you commit to God, and you know, nobody's going to be 100% committed all the time. But the more you're committed to God, the more you aspire to be committed to God, the more you decide to be committed to God, the better off you're going to be. The more you're going to see God work in your life, and the more you're going to be able to handle the curveballs in life. You know, and everybody's going to get some curveballs, and sometimes you may even get a knuckleball. You know, a knuckleball is, you know, curveball curves. A knuckleball goes all over the place. Nobody knows where it's going, not even the catcher. Not even the pitcher. You know, and we get those in life. But if you're committed to God, you can handle it, see? Then you don't freak out. You don't go, but, see? We roll over everything to God. We unfurl it. We give it to Him totally and completely. We devolve ourselves of those things, you know? And commitment is a big deal. See, well, I go to fellowship. Great. You know? Take my kids to children's fellowship. Great. You know, I read the Bible once a week. Great. You know, God says to put it in your heart. You'd be better off reading one verse every day and keeping it in your mind and working it all day long and putting it into your heart and determined to believe it. You know, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, George Mueller was a guy in the late 1800s, early 1900s that he took that verse and he made it his life. And so he looked around in England where he lived at the time, and there was a tremendous need because there were orphans, people, kids running all over the streets. They had no parents. Their parents would either die from disease and nobody would take care of them. The church couldn't handle it. The government couldn't handle it. Or they would... you know, their parents might be in debtor's prison, for instance. You know, they had those things. So he determined to start an orphanage. And he just totally depended on God to fund and keep that orphanage running. And you can read the books about his life and stuff, but it was incredible. But he took that one verse, he said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And he made that verse live in his life. You know, now he knew lots of other verses. He studied the Word. He read the Word. He spent hours every day praying for things and taking care of things. And that orphanage still runs today. That orphanage is still in business. And it's huge. It's a big place. And great people came out of that place and had an impact on Great Britain. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah, chapter 9. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of those prophets. Jeremiah, you got it? Chapter 9? Okay. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. When it says, thus saith the Lord, who's saying this? God. God's saying this. You know, when you heard the manifestations today, did you take it as God speaking to you or not? Well, you should, because it's God speaking to you. It says, thus saith the Lord, God is speaking. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You ever think you're smarter than smart? You ever think you're the wisest guy on the block? He says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Yeah. That you know God. You know, how can you glory in that you know God and know that he exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth if you don't know what he says, if you don't understand what the Word of God says? You can't, you know. It's like, you know, you go out on the street and you ask people if they believe God. And, you know, maybe 8 out of 10 people say, sure, I believe God. And then you ask them, well, what do you know about God? And they'll go, well, I don't know. Because they don't. They don't know it because they don't ever read. Or they'll tell you something that's totally wacky. You know, he sent aliens down to make crop signs to give us directions in life or something, you know, something stupid. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Remember, we started this whole thing off with what? Trust in the Lord with
all your heart.
All your heart. That's the point of this. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Own understanding. Okay, chapter 4, verse 6. It says what? Be careful for nothing, which means be anxious for nothing. So, is there anything in life that you should be anxious about?
No.
Be anxious for nothing. But in how much?
Everything.
Everything. Everything means everything. All. Everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, and what does that tell you? That you can go to God with anything, right? Mm-hmm. That you shouldn't be anxious, but instead of being anxious, you should go to God with prayer and supplication. Now, knowing that and knowing what we know because we've been taught, what do you need to know about prayer when you ask God or go to God in prayer and supplication?
You need to know God's will.
Yeah, you need to know what's available, right? Okay. Then it says in verse 7, and when you do that, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know what? That's great. The peace of God. And when you do that, when you're not anxious for anything, but you give everything to God in prayer and supplication and you're thankful to God, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know, so you'll be in a situation and you pray to God and you know that God's got your back. You know that he's going to come through for you. And people will say, how can you be peaceful? How can you be peaceful? I don't understand how you're so calm, how you're so peaceful. Well, this is how you're peaceful. You're relying on God. You're trusting God. That's how you stay peaceful. You know that God will answer his prayer. You know that God never lets his word go out void, right? You know that God never lets one word of his word fail. That's why. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is written to who?
Israel.
Israel. So when we read in the Old Testament, what do we have to understand? We understand to whom it's written, to whom it's addressed, and of whom it's true. So wherever and however it's true in principle, and it does not contradict the church epistles or the New Testament, it can apply to our lives, right? We can apply it. So that's how we're going to look at this, as practical application. Okay, says, now these are the commandments of the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So this is before they get into the promised land, and God says, okay, here's the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments. When it uses those three terms, commandments, statutes, and judgments, it means the entirety of the law of Moses, because that's the three parts to the law. It's the commandments, thou shalt not do this, shalt not do that. Then there's statutes, you know, this is the way you're supposed to do this. This is the way you keep this Sabbath day. This is the way you keep this feast day. This is how you deal with your neighbor. And the judgments are, if you do this, then you're going to suffer this consequence. That's the judgment. So that's the three parts to all the law. So when it says commandments, statutes, and judgments, it means the totality of the law of Moses. Okay? That thou mightest fear the Lord. So that you might go in, so you're to learn the word of God. To us, it would be the word of God written to us, but it's given to them so that they may fear the God, fear the Lord, or respect, have great awe for God. Okay? And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and it's the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? Okay, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that they thy days may be prolonged. That, you know, your days may be prolonged. They may be longer. Did you ever wish there was another hour in the day or 2 hours in the day? There you go. Okay, keep the commandments of the Lord. And it's to be to your children and to your grandchildren. In other words, they were to do what? Teach. Teach. Don't back down on the word to your kids. Teach them. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. So you're not only to hear the word, you're to do what? Do it. You're to do it. Remember, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding. You're supposed to know the word and do it. Period. Okay. That it may be well with thee. Why does God want us to do the word? So it will be well with thee. So things will go good. When you do what he says, it'll go well with thee. And that ye may increase mightily. I'm not sure exactly specifically what that means, but I know it had to do with them growing into a mighty nation and they would have lots of kids because that was a blessing in their culture and society. And they would grow strong as a country and as a people and as a families and so on and so forth. And that ye might increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. You know, he was going to give them a land of milk, meaning a place where it was easy to live. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's just one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Okay? And then it goes on to say, teach your children. Teach your children. So it says here, love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Where do you remember reading that? In the Gospels, right? Jesus Christ, the lawyer came to him and said, Lord, you know, what's the first and great commandment? And Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Meaning, that sums it up. You know, because if you're loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving thy neighbor as thyself, then you're going to live a good and happy and prosperous life. Okay? Simple. Simple, simple. And he says, and thou shalt teach your children. Teach them diligently unto your children. Thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. How often are you supposed to speak the word? All the time. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dug which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive yards which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's really easy sometime when things are going good to forget about God. Man, I built this great business, and man, it's great. And you just forget about God. You know, the world is designed. The world is built to take the Word of God out of your life. That's the way it is. You know, the movies, the TV, the music, the sports, even education to a lot of degree is built to rip the Word of God out of your life. You know, what do they teach in school? They don't teach anything about God. It's banned in school now. You can't pray in school. They want to take trust in God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They teach Darwin's theory of evolution, which is bogus. And even real scientists know that it's not true, that it's a lie. You know, the world is built to take away the Word of God. That's why you have to keep putting it in your brain. You have to combat what it says. You have to combat those influences in your life. You know, and only you can do that. That's why he tells them all this. He said, otherwise you're going to forget. You're going to forget. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Okay, now that's to Israel. That is not to us, right? Because once you're born again, you have what? Holy Spirit, eternal life, you know. God never, that was the consequences if they didn't believe and do the law and stay in tune with God. Our situation is when we don't do the word, when we don't keep God in our heart, we miss out on the blessings. We miss out, we have anxiety and fear and doubt in our lives. Then we have things come up that we don't handle with a peaceful heart and peaceful mind. Then we don't have the blessings of God upon us. You know, why does God ask us to give? We did an abundant sharing. You know why he asks us to give? So we recognize him. It's so we recognize him and have respect for him. That's why he asks us to give. There's a reason for it. You know, he says, do the word and it will be well with you. He doesn't ask us to do anything that will not bless us. Okay, and then it says in verse 16, you shall not tempt the Lord your God as he tempted him in Massah, talking to Israel. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do them that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Okay, so that was the promise to them. What's the promise to us? Well, the promise to us is that we can be more than conquerors in every situation, that we can overcome everything, that he'll bless us and prosper us in our life as we walk for him. You know, he's given us great and precious promises, right? Well, it's if we do the word is how we get those great and precious promises. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. When you understand and know what God did for us, when he did for you through his son, Jesus Christ, you should aspire and you should want to do your best for him. You know, Jesus Christ suffered on the cross and previous to the cross, right? He got tortured. He got horrible things done to him. He hung on the cross, got mocked and ridiculed and everything else. People spit in his face. And he did it for us. So understanding that, why shouldn't we do our best for him? Why shouldn't we put him first, not just on Sunday morning, but in everything we do every day? Because what does it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. I therefore means read chapters 1, 2, and 3. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly. You're holy and without blame before him. You're seated in the heavenlies. You know that God's going to bless you and take care of you with the riches of the glory of his grace for all eternity and all these other things. He says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, implore you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, the vocation wherewith you're called is that you are a child of God. So walk worthy of it. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 5 is pretty cool because you go through all the church epistles, all that God has done for us, all he says to us. Then you get to Thessalonians. He tells us about the gathering together, right? The gathering together. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then at the end of chapter 5, the end of 1 Thessalonians, after he's given us all this great information about the gathering together and our salvation, our new body and everything else, he says in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren. Okay, exhort means to encourage to a more worthy endeavor. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks to God, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That doesn't mean, you know, I don't like the way you dress, it's evil, but it's in the context of prove all things, meaning, you know, you go to the Word and you see what's good and what's bad, and you abstain from what appears evil to you in your life, okay? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be great believers. He wants to do great things in our lives. See, you know, for us to aspire to greatness is to aspire to be our best for God, to be committed to Him, to trust in Him wholly and completely in our lives, day by day, to listen to Him, to walk with Him, and see Him work in our lives. Okay? So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us, for taking care of us, for what a great and mighty God you are, that you can work in us individually to show us, to help us, and to teach us how to walk with you, how to be committed to you, how to trust in you totally and completely, and that we can get better and better day by day and week by week, that this is a never-ending thing in our lives. But as we grow older, we just...